Amen. You have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 27. We're going to cover the whole chapter. I've titled the message, Favoritism, Jealousy, Lies, and Deceit. You know, it's just interesting to me how many times we show favoritism, especially when it comes to our kids. You know, we can show favoritism one over the other. And here we have a classic example of it in chapter 27, because Isaac showed favoritism to his oldest son, Esau, and Isaac's wife, Rebekah, was showing favoritism to their youngest son, Jacob. And we're going to see what happens in this. I like what W. Griffith Thomas said. He said, "Nowhere is the real character of the Bible more evident than in this chapter. The story is given in all its naked simplicity. And although no precise moral is pointed, the incidents carry their own solemn lessons for each one of us. All four persons concerned with the history are portrayed without hesitation or qualification. It's a family life full of jealousy and deceit. And if in particular jealousies are found associated with the profession of God, how terrible is the revelation." One of the commentaries I looked in, Matthew Henry, it's a very old commentary, he said this, and I thought this was pretty profound. He said, "Esau had profanely sold his birthright to Jacob." Remember, we studied last time in our study of Genesis. "But Esau hopes he shall be never the poorer, nor Jacob the richer for that bargain. While Esau preserves his interest in his father's affections, and so secures a blessing. Here, therefore, we find how he was justly punished for his contempt of the birthright of which he foolishly deprived himself, with the loss of the blessing of which Jacob fraudulently deprives him. Thus the story is explained, Hebrews 12, verses 16, 17. Because he sold the birthright, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For those that make light of the name and profession of God, and throw them away for nothing, they thereby forfeit the powers and the privileges of it." Man, I mean, when it comes down to God being God, you can bet God is going to be God. And His will is going to be done. Look at verse 1 as we pick up our study here. It says, "Now it came to pass when Isaac was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau's older son, and he said to him, 'My son.' And he answered him, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die.' Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau's son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, 'Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, "Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. And therefore, my son, obey the voice according to what I am going to command you." Isaac's half-brother Ishmael. Remember, Abraham had Ishmael first through Hagar. And then God blessed and opened the womb of Sarah in their old age, and they had Isaac. Well, Ishmael had died at the age of 137 years old. So naturally, Isaac, being brother, thought, well, you know what? I'm about to die then. Little did he know he was going to live another 43 years and die at the ripe old age of 180 years. So here's Isaac. He's impatient. He wants to give his firstborn, Esau, the blessing. But I want you to notice something tonight, and this is where you and I get in trouble. We find him following his own plans and not waiting on God's will and God's timing. Like many of us today, either he had forgotten the word that God gave Rebekah in Genesis 25:23, or he was trying to change God's plans. How many times do we try to change God's plans? We know this is what we have to do, but we're bent on doing this. Well, this is where Isaac is tonight. And you know what? It's amazing because we are talking about a man who at one time, Isaac, laid his self down on an altar and was willing to die for the Lord. Remember when him and his dad, Abraham, went to the Mount Moriah? And God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son to him? Isaac had to have had some faith to lay himself down on that altar. And here we have the same guy years later. I believe it's a warning to each one of us tonight. Because we might be feeling strong in the Lord, but let me warn you guys tonight. It doesn't mean that you can't fall or backslide. Because you can. Now we need to take in consideration, Jacob is not a young man here anymore. Jacob is actually 77 years old. So that means if you have kids that are still living at home, good luck. They could be there for 77 years. No, I'm just kidding. But it tells me that Jacob was old enough to know what he was doing. As we read this story, you're going to find out what I mean. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, Rebekah told Jacob, go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy dude. I mean, he's got a lot of hair all over him. Even his back has got hair on it. I mean, all over the place. And he goes, look at me. I'm a smooth-skinned man. I don't have any hair. I don't shave or nothing. This is the difference with the two. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. Look at verse 13. But Rebekah, his mother, said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. Notice how far people will go to be blessed. Rebekah here just cursed herself. She just cursed herself. And the amazing thing is, after deceiving Isaac, she's going to have to send her son Jacob away. Tell me that was all God's will and his plan. Jacob is going to have to flee for his life from his brother Esau because Esau is going to plan to kill him. That's how mad Esau is going to be. The sad thing about all of this, Rebekah will never see Jacob again alive, and Jacob will never see his mother again alive. Guys, how many of you know, man? I mean, when we study through the scriptures like this, we learn this time and time again, and sometimes it's like, man, God, I already know this. I mean, you ever feel that way? And yet God's going, I know you already know this. You need to hear it again because you make the same mistakes over and over again. She's not going to see his son, man. It made me think of what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26 to 27. He said, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, when a man stands before the white throne judgment, what in the world does he have that he could give for his own soul to go to heaven? Nothing, man. We could do whatever we want to do in this world. And you know what? You can't trade any of it for your soul and for eternity in heaven. God told Rebekah that Jacob would receive the blessing. And yet, I mean, notice this, guys, and we fit right in here. We fall right into this. Notice what she's doing. She starts scheming, and she starts plotting to make sure her son Esau is left out of the picture. How sad. I mean, these are your two sons. Give me a break. You know, these are your kids. And she's choosing sides, and Isaac is choosing sides. Favoritism. It's one thing I tried my best to not do with my three daughters. I tried to treat them the same, all three. You know, I call it here at the church, I call it a standard. I tell my staff, I tell my elders, my deacons, you know, what you do for one. If you're going to allow one person to do something here or take something here and use it for the weekend or whatever, you're setting the standard and everybody now can do that. I mean, that's just a standard because this is our church. It's not one individual's church. It's all of ours. So there's a standard there. And it's the same thing with our kids. I can't show favoritism to one of them, even though one of them out of the three always wanted to hang out with me. And so it looked like I was showing favoritism to her, but I wasn't. But she just wanted to hang out with Dad. She should have been my son, little tomboy. You know, she's the one that broke bones and everything else. But, you know, it's incredible to me. I tried to treat them the same. But here's the deal. Instead of going to God in prayer, like her and Isaac had done years before, man, everything, they just bathed it in their early life. They bathed everything in prayer. She does what many of us tend to do. She depends on her own plans. We get into that kind of a routine, huh? Where it's like it just comes natural. Well, I'm just going to do this and that. And it's like, wait a minute, God's going, wait a minute, what about me? Aren't you going to ask me? What if what you're going to do is out of my will and it's going to hurt you? You still want to do it? I wouldn't want to do it. But how many times do I fall into that? It's a practice that is going to actually be characteristic of Jacob later in his life. We're going to see these same things when we get to him in Genesis here. Look at the consequences here as Esau deliberately acts to hurt his mom. And Rebekah's bad example before Jacob, you know what? It will actually cost Jacob 20 years of heartache, heartbreak, and trials. 20 years, man. Besides never seeing his mother again. You see, there are those who believe she was doing this in part because of what God had promised her. God promised her that Jacob was going to be the heir, that he was going to inherit the blessing. God promised Rebekah this, but it still doesn't excuse her actions. She's using deception here. She's lying. I mean, it's bad. There's jealousy in the family. There's favoritism in the family. It's bad. What's interesting about all of this is that Jesus has borne the curse of the law for those of us who choose to follow him. He bore the curse of the law. Here we don't see any of these four individuals choosing to follow the Lord. And so they're bringing the curse of the law upon themselves. Paul said in Galatians 3 verses 10 to 14, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." If you're going to try to follow the Ten Commandments, guess what? You're under the curse. "For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." I'm going to let you in on a heavy revelation, and you heard it here tonight. Are you ready for this? If you're trying to keep those Ten Commandments, I'm here to tell you, if you break one of them, guess what? You're guilty of all ten, breaking all ten. That's why we've given our lives to Christ and stand in faith in him. Verse 11 there of Galatians 3 says, "But that no one is justified by the law on the side of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Isn't that the theme of the whole book of Romans? The just shall live by faith. "Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. We were cursed because of the law. But what Jesus did on the cross, he became that curse for us so you and I don't have to go to hell. We don't have to be eternally damned. By faith, we believe in him and it's a done deal. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. You see, according to the Bible, there's only two kinds of people on this earth. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. We don't have all the races here split up. It's Jew or Gentile. That's what the scripture says. So tonight you're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. And he said that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I love that. It's a faith walk, man. Guys, we don't have to get into works trips. We don't have to try to do this and try to do that. We just go as God leads us. How many times have we tried to make something happen? Just think in your mind, the last time you tried to make something happen because you wanted it so bad, it blew up in your face, man. One way or another. Because it might not have been God's will. It might not have been his timing. Look at verse 14. It says, and Jacob went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her oldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. Look at the deception here. And she put the skins of the coat of the kids of the goats on the hands and on the smooth part of his neck. After she slaughtered the animal and got the meat to cook, she took the skin of the animal and she put them on Jacob's hands and on the back of his neck. Because this Esau guy, he must have been some hairy dude, man. I bet he was first Sasquatch, you know, back in the wilderness. And I don't know. And it says in verse 17, then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went into his father and he said, my father. And Isaac said, here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, here's the lie. I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you found it so quickly, my son? And Jacob said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. This is so classic. So classic, man. Jacob knew God's promise for his life, and yet notice what he's doing here. And guys, we fall into this. Notice what he's doing here. He's listening to his mother instead of listening to God. How many times do we do that? How many times have I listened to a brother or a sister in the Lord instead of listening to God? I knew what God wanted me to do, but you know what? I like their counsel better. Have you ever been there? And so I followed their counsel. Isaiah 28:16. It says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Here it is. Here's the key. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Here we see Isaac, Esau, Jacob, and Rebekah acting hastily. Where's their belief? You know, in one sense, I got to admit, you got to hand it to Rebekah. Because she must have been a pretty good cook. Boy, I bet she could cook up some meat. Because she was able to make goat's meat taste like venison. Here Esau's hunting venison. And she cooked goat's meat for Jacob to give to Isaac. Now, I don't have a clue as to what Jacob is doing here, man. It's like, Jacob, what are you thinking? I mean, here he's playing the hypocrite. He's lying to his father and is deceiving his father. You know, this, I got to tell you, this so ministered to me, because there's times I can wait and wait and wait and wait for God to move until finally there comes a time I find myself taking things in my own hands, helping God out. You guys ever do that? It's like, I got to make something happen here. And I end up doing the same thing, man. I mean, in verse 19, we find him telling his father three lies. Three lies, right in a row. He says, I am Esau. No, you aren't. You're Jacob. He said, I have done it. No, you didn't, mama's boy. Mommy did it. She cooked the meat for you. And he said, eat of my venison. It wasn't venison. It was goat's meat. Goat's meat. And then in verse 27, he seals the deal. Notice that. He's going to kiss his dad in a deceitful way. Made me think of when Judas came and kissed Jesus. Betrayed him with a kiss, man. Again, we've mentioned the scripture many times. The scripture that keeps coming to mind is Galatians 6, verses 7 to 9. It says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. It doesn't say you might reap this or you could reap this. It says you will reap this. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. And here's the key to it. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Whatever you're praying about, Whatever you're waiting on God for, to bring it about, if you start sowing in the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh. But Paul says there to the church in Galatia, you know what, man? Don't grow weary. Keep waiting. Keep praying. Keep holding on to the promises of God. Because if you hold on and you don't get weary, in due season, you will reap. You'll reap it, man. Just don't lose heart. Here's the million-dollar question. Will Jacob pay for his sin? You bet he will, man. And many, many times over, as we're going to see in the weeks to come as we continue in our study. Laban, his uncle, is going to deceive him about his wives. Jacob is going to work 7 years for one wife for his uncle so that he can marry his uncle's daughter, which actually would be his cousin, first cousin, son, I don't know, cousin, something like that. Back in them days, it was still okay, but now you wouldn't be able to do it because of the sin and the changes in our bodies and everything. There'd be deformity and stuff like that, but they were able to do that still yet in that time. Well, he wanted this one wife, so he worked for 7 years. Well, what happened, I don't want to give too much of the story away because we'll get to it, but at the when Jacob married his wife the night that they were having their honeymoon, instead of giving her the woman that he wanted, Laban, his uncle, gives him the older daughter first. He wakes up in the morning and he went, what's this? I mean, he got deceived. So what happened? What does uncle say? Oh, dear uncle, I love you, Jacob. I'll tell you what I'll do, son. You work another 7 years for me, I'll give you the wife you want in the beginning. You know, so here he goes again. You know, it's incredible. And then he's going to change his wages over and over and over again. I mean, Jacob, he's going to have to reap all of this stuff. Later in life, we're going to get there. Jacob's own sons is going to kill a goat in Genesis chapter 37. They're going to take the blood of that goat and they're going to put it on Jacob's other son, Joseph, who had a coat of many colors. And they're going to take that coat and present it to their dad, Jacob, and say, look, an animal, a beast, has torn your son and he's dead. Sowing and reaping, man. Same thing right here. Yeah, it didn't happen the next day. Yeah, it didn't happen next week, next month. But notice, years later, the reaping's going to come. And guys, if we would only learn this, it'd save us a lot of misery and stuff we go through, man. Have you ever heard the saying, you can run, but you can't hide? Numbers 32:23 says, and be sure your sin will find you out. It'll find you out, man. My biker buddies had a saying, what goes around comes around. It's the same thing, man. Something else I notice here in verse 20, look at this. What does Jacob say? The Lord, your God. Guys, this is what sin does in a person's life. Jacob was afraid at this point. And so he says, the Lord, your God, instead of Dad, the Lord, our God, or the Lord, my God, brought it to me. You see, when you're in sin, that's how you're going to speak. God is going to be separated from you. God is going to be out of your life. He knew he was transgressing the commandment of the Lord. He knew he was deceiving his dad. He knew he was lying to his dad. You know what's interesting about that? It made me think of Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. In that verse, you see a progression of evil. This is how it starts. The one who walks in the counsel of the ungodly will soon be standing in the way of sinners. And then it won't be long after he's found sitting in the seat of the scornful. Walking with them, stopping and standing with them, sitting with them. It's a progression, man. There's a book that is an awesome book if you ever want to do an in-depth study on Genesis. It's called Jesus in Genesis. Pictures of Jesus shown in the book of Genesis in the beginning. Hebrew oral tradition handed down to us from this time right here, dealing with Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Esau, says that Satan is always out to destroy God's people. And Satan was talking one day with his demons, with his angels, and he asked them, how can I destroy Israel? How can I cause them to sin so that God will bring judgment upon them? And the answer came forth from his lieutenant saying, if you happen to be passing by the house of worship of the Lord, and you don't hear any children there praising and worshiping God, know that the hands are the hands of Esau. You can go in and you can attack them. But if you happen to be passing by and you hear the little children singing praises unto the Lord and worshiping the Lord, know that that is the voice of Jacob. And you can't attack because they're praising the Lord. You'll never attack any of God's people as long as they are worshiping and praising God. Interesting, man. How do we get out from under the attack of the enemy? You guys ready for this? We continue to praise God in every circumstance and every situation. You continue to praise Him, no matter how bad it is, no matter what happens in your life. Because you see, bottom line, our next breath is in His hands. It's in His hands, man. I can promise you one thing according to God's word. Before anything can happen in any of your lives, it has to go onto God's desk first, and He has to put His stamp of approval on it before it can happen, or else it can't happen. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He knows exactly what He's doing, and you've got to remember what we go through here is all temporary. This is temporary. The focus has to be on the eternal. When your eyes are on the eternal, you can deal with the temporary because you know our lives are like a vapor of smoke, as James says. We're here one moment, we're gone the next. We come to the place in our spiritual walk, and this is the hard one, man, where we thank Jesus for everything that happens to us. He loves us so much. He knows exactly what He's going to allow happen to us. And you know what? He's got a plan behind it. He knows what He's doing because He loves us so much. Yeah, He demonstrated that by dying on the cross for us. I can't explain it all. I don't know why. Verse 21, then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son. Whether you are really my son Esau or not. Now, I don't know. I might have drawn the line here. I don't know if I would have had the guts to go close to my dad and let him smell me and feel me and find out I'm actually Jacob. I'm not Esau. Look at verse 22. So Jacob went near Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, that's not in your Bible. But I'm sure he's doing that. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him. Remember those words. Because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Then he said, are you really my son Esau? And Jacob said, I am. And Isaac said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and he blessed him and said, now remember, Rebekah put Esau's clothing on him, because Esau was a man of the field, so he could smell the field on it. Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Now, does that ring a bell with anybody here? Remember Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3? God said that the nations that would curse Israel would be cursed, and the nations that would bless Israel would be blessed. Here we have it again to Jacob. It's handed down to Jacob. You know what? God forbid that the United States ever comes against and goes against the nation of Israel. We're going to go down, man, if that ever happens, because it's right here. We're to bless them. We're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's something that God has commanded us to do. Going back to verse 23, it says that Isaac didn't recognize him. You know what happened here? Isaac had lost his discernment of the Spirit. Here's a man that saw God move, that laid himself on the altar, was willing to die as a sacrifice for the Lord. And here he had lost his discernment. He'd been moving in the Holy Spirit since the Lord gave him wisdom. The Lord gave him knowledge. He gave him understanding and discernment. And now you know what he's doing? You know what he's literally doing spiritually? He's shooting from the hips. Instead of following the Lord, he's doing what he wants to do. He recognizes Jacob's voice. That should have been flag number one. Ding, 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 ding. You know, wait a minute. Something's wrong with this picture. But when he felt the hands, they were the hands of Esau. Now, you know what I thought for a moment? Why didn't Isaac discern him? Why didn't Isaac put two and two together and realize, man, this isn't Esau. This is Jacob. You ready for this? Because God's will, God's purpose, and God's plan was in action. God was moving, man. I mean, the Lord took away Isaac's discernment of the Spirit so that the blessing could be passed on to Jacob and not Esau. God did that. Because Isaac was moving in the flesh. I believe God does that with us as Christians. When we start moving in the flesh, I believe God will take away our discernment and God will move on our behalf to work out his plan that he wants to do in spite of us, because we're not paying attention. We're not listening to the Lord. Because Jacob received the blessing that should have gone to the firstborn, Jacob now has become the genuine heir of the kingdom. And guess what? It's going to be through him that the Messiah would come from his descendants, man. You know what's interesting is that we're told in Genesis 25, 27, Esau was a man of the field. Think about that a minute. Does that ring any bells what Jesus said in the New Testament? Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, Jesus referred to the field as what? The world. So actually, typically speaking, Esau was a man of the world. He wasn't a man of God. Look at verse 30 here. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory food. And he brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, and that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly. You talk about freaking out. He's going, "Oh no, what is this?" And he said, "Who? Who is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. In the Hebrew, it says that he cried out so loud that you could have heard him for blocks. I mean, he just wailed out. And it says, and he said to his father, "Bless me also, oh my father." We're told in Hebrews 12, verse 17, that Esau sought the blessing with tears, yet, notice this, he found no place for real repentance for his sins. You know what? I truly believe Esau was remorseful. I mean, I truly believe he was, but he didn't have sincere repentance. In other words, he was sorry for what he had lost, but he wasn't sorry for what he had done. And there's a lot of people like that today. They're remorseful, but they're not repentant. Look at verse 35 as we finish here. But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob?" Come on, Dad. His name's Jacob. Remember? Conniver, heel catcher, liar, deceiver. Hello, Dad. You know, isn't that his name, Jacob? Look what he says here. "For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing." And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice, and he wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. It's going to be in the wilderness and the deserts, exactly as it is today. And of the dew of heaven from above, by your sword you shall live. You shall serve your brother. I mean, it's the same thing we see today. We see that with the Arab nations today. I mean, by their sword, they're living. And he says, and it shall come to pass when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my dad are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So Rebekah sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him a few days. Yeah, right, it's going to end up being 20 years. Until your brother's fury turns away. Until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth like these, who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? I thought of Proverbs 19:21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. What God is intending to do, he's going to do. Regardless of what we try to intervene or make happen, he's going to do. Here Isaac trembled. And man, I believe he freaked out. You know why? I believe he realized that God had overruled his plans. I believe the Holy Spirit convicted him, man, and told him, you know what? You're messing up. You can't have Esau as the heir because Jacob's going to be the heir. And he freaked out, man. He trembled over it because of God. See, no matter how many tears Esau shed, it couldn't have changed Isaac's mind or altered the blessing because God was the one that established what God wanted to do. Esau retaliated by plotting to kill his brother. And we see that he deliberately hurt his parents by stirring up trouble. How? He married these heathen wives. They became thorns in Isaac and Rebekah's sides. They hated their life, man. It was Esau's way of payback because he knew his marriages to the Hittite women would be a grief to his parents. But you know what? All this does is show us how unfit Esau was for God's blessing. God knew Esau was never going to be the heir because he knew Esau. He knew Esau's character. He knew his heart, his mind. He knew the kind of man he was. He was a man of the world. Being a man of the world, you can never receive God's blessing. He knew how foolish it was for Isaac to think he could bless him outside of God's will, man. It's sad. In Genesis 25:28, we saw the division of the home. Remember when we studied it? It said that Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob? Well, here we have in chapter 27, the sinful results of this division. It wasn't a godly unification. It was a carnal division. It was parents functioning in their flesh. And it was sons obeying in the flesh and doing what they do in the flesh. The whole thing here was all done in the flesh. The conclusion is that the grace of God didn't fail. It was Esau who failed the grace of God. He failed. This is the problem when there is sin in the home. It'll bring heartache. It'll bring misunderstanding. And you know what? It's going to bring hatred and bitterness. If Isaac and Rebekah had not taken sides with their two sons If they had continued to get on their face and pray as they did when we first studied, when they first got married. When they were young and first got married, they prayed. They sought the Lord in their decisions. Something happened and they went into family mode and family routine. And they just started making their own decisions. If they had only allowed God to have his way, things would have been different. Now the family is going to be divided. Jacob will never see his mom again. And Rebecca, thinking she's doing the best thing for her son, will never see Jacob again. She'll die before he ever comes back. Sadly, there are no winners here. No one has won. Everybody's lost. They're all suffered because of their unbelief and disobedience, not only in waiting on the Lord, but waiting for his timing and his will. It's a sad thing, man. We see it happen all the time in families. I really want to encourage you guys. Don't show favoritism. If you show favoritism, there's going to be lying, there's going to be deception, there's going to be jealousy. It's going to rip your household apart. Be the same with all your kids. Treat them the same. Amen? Let's pray.